Welcome to More Than Medicine, where Jesus is more than enough for the ills that plague our culture and our country. Hosted by author and physician Dr. Robert Jackson and his wife Carlotta and daughter Hannah Miller. So listen up, because the doctor is in.
Welcome to More Than Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Robert Jackson, bringing to you biblical insights and stories from the country doctor's rusty, dusty scrapbook. Well, I have a very special guest with me today. Her name is Donna Lowry. Donna's from down in Florida. She has a very interesting story that I desperately want her to share with you today. Miss Donna, welcome.
Hi, Dr. Robert, Dr. Jackson.
Well, I'm so delighted to have you. Now, tell us a little bit about yourself personally before we dive into your story. Tell us who you are, a little bit about your family, where you come from, so my audience will know a little bit about you.
Yes, sir. So my family, my parents, moved to Central Florida from the state of New York in 1971. I am of one of three children. I have a twin sister. We were born in January of 65, and then we have a brother that was born in December of 1965. So essentially, my mom had three children within 1 year.
My goodness.
Brought up in Cocoa, Florida, and the Lord allowed me to meet my husband, Sam, in 1982. We were married in 1984, graduated nursing school in 1987, and the Lord blessed us with four amazing children. They all live local except for our youngest boy. He and his family are in Fort Worth, Texas. Mm-hmm. And the Lord allowed us to, he laid it on our heart to homeschool our children. All of our children are believers, and as our children were growing, we would pray at night for the Lord to prepare our children to be godly spouses, but we also prayed for the Lord to prepare godly spouses for our children. So the three oldest children are married, and their spouses love Jesus. And our youngest daughter, Julia, is about to be married in June of this year, and her fiance also loves Jesus, and it's just such a blessing to see our children grow in the Lord. And they all have children of their own now, except our youngest, of course.
Yep.
And our oldest grandson is seven. He accepted Christ this year, and his brother is six, and he accepted Christ this year. So our prayer, of course, is for our grandchildren and our grandchildren to be, to all know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior.
Amen. Well, you know, we have nine children, and we homeschool all of our children, so our stories are very similar.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And so this, it's 1990, I went back to work at Parrish Medical Center in Titusville, Florida. We're on the Space Coast of Florida, Central Florida.
And what's the town?
Titusville,
okay.
T-I-T-U-S-V-I-L-L-E, Titusville. If you look up Kennedy Space Center,
mm-hmm.
it's in that general location. A lot of people live in Titusville that work at the Space Center, work for NASA.
I get. So you get to see the space shuttle take off every time it does.
Yes, sir, and it's so beautiful.
It is.
As a matter of fact, our oldest boy works for SpaceX and our son-in-law. So, yeah, there's a little connection there as far as the work that's being done. Yes, I got you.
I saw the space shuttle take off one time, and you're right. It's beautiful and spectacular.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, it is. It is.
All right. Well, then you had an amazing experience there at that hospital a little while back. Why don't you tell my listeners what happened there?
Yes, sir. So as I often would do on my way to work, I would pray. My pastor, Jay Frazier, has taught me to put, well, he's taught his church, I should say, to put ourselves in the offering plate and ask the Lord to use us.
Yeah.
And so on this day, September 5th of 2021, I was driving to work, having my quiet time with Jesus, and I asked him to put me in the offering plate and use me where he'd have me to be.
Mm-hmm.
And on that said day, on a Sunday, I've worked OB for 31 years. I was sent to the medical, one of the medical floors to work, and there was a COVID patient, and the COVID patient's daughter was a coworker. She was upset. I approached her, asked her what was wrong. She mentioned that her mother had COVID, and the hospitalist had just informed her that if her mother did not improve, she was going to be going on the ventilator. I asked the coworker if her mother had ivermectin and or if she was familiar with ivermectin. She said no. I explained to her the FLCCC Alliance protocol for early COVID, and I talked to her about ivermectin. I personally have had family members that did well with ivermectin, and two of the four members have comorbidities. She wanted ivermectin for her mom. And I asked her if she believed in Jesus, and she said yes. There were two other nurses with us. I asked if they believed in Jesus, and they said yes. So I said, before we go further, we're going to pray and ask Jesus to have his way and will in the situation. So we prayed, and I'm going to make a long story short, but I spoke to the hospitalist, and I spoke to the intensivist, who is over ICU and COVID. And I spoke to the pharmacist. The intensivist and the hospitalist immediately said yes to the ivermectin. I did get pushback from the pharmacist, but the hospitalist or the intensivist was over everything. He was over the pharmacist in this situation. The patient did receive three doses of ivermectin between Sunday when it was ordered and Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Early into her three doses, she was improving. She went from in the bed to her daughter being able to help her to stand up at the bedside, and she was tolerating clear liquids. On Friday of that same week, the CEO of the hospital, of Parish Medical Center, came in and asked into the pharmacy and asked if anybody had been asking about ivermectin. My name came up, and I do give my God honor and glory and praise that he chose me for this.
Yeah.
So at that moment, when my name came up, he notified my director, who is amazing, and had her notify me that I was being suspended. And then he had the pharmacist stop the ivermectin. That was on a Friday. So I prayed and advocated on Sunday, the 5th, the following Friday, I was suspended. The following Monday, they wanted me to turn in my badge, and I was terminated. Along with that, the CEO of the hospital and the chief nursing officer wrote a complaint to the Board of Nursing. They requested my nursing license be removed. By the grace of God.
Go ahead. I'm listening.
My nursing license is still intact. Nothing has been done against my nursing license. It's still clean and clear, although somebody did go and interview those that were involved with the patient's care in the day that I advocated. Nothing formal has been done. My license is untouched.
Mm-hmm.
As a result of this happening, somebody sent me your video from when you spoke before the Senate of South Carolina. And I was touched by what you said. And I thought, wow, I have found somebody who is under the same spiritual attack that I'm under for trying to stand by our oath that we took, our Hippocratic oath to do no harm. And I thought, you know, Lord, I'm going to reach out to this Dr. Jackson. He's either going to answer or he's not. So I called you. And I remember like it was yesterday, you called me back on your way home from work. And you had such sweet encouragement to me. You prayed with me. I remember you asking me if my middle name was Esther. And we talked about for such a time as this.
Yep. That's right.
And ever since that conversation, I have stuck to that. And you brought out such an amazing point, not just in regards to you and I, but for all of us that are in this fight together. That the Lord chose us.
That's right.
For this task, even before we were born.
That's right. Exactly.
And for that, I want to give him honor and glory. that my pastor has taught us, if you ask the Lord to use you, expect to be used, right?
That's right. That's right. He brings the opportunities, doesn't he?
Yes, sir.
That's right. When you prepare yourself, yes, he brings opportunities. Greatness in the kingdom of God, Miss Donna, comes when preparation meets opportunity. And when you and I prepare ourselves, God brings the opportunities. And, you know, we don't seek to be great in the eyes of the world. Our desire is to be great in the kingdom of God.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And it's my responsibility to be prepared. 1 Peter 3:15 says, sanctify yourself, sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, and be ready always, be prepared always to give an answer to any man that asks a reason of the hope that is within you, yet with gentleness and reverence. It's our responsibility to be prepared. And you were prepared, Miss Donna, for that very hour, that very Esther moment. And then God used you in a great way.
And I'm honored. And one of the biggest one of the biggest ways that the profound, I mean, I guess I should use the word profound. One of the most profound ways the Lord has comforted my heart through this. I don't know if I had shared this with you after it happened. I think I may have, about the young Muslim girl that came to my house.
Tell me.
She is a reporter for one of our local newspapers, the Florida Today. I had the opportunity to go to our state capital, Tallahassee. My girlfriend and I, Barbara, were going there to rally with our signs against the mandates.
Yeah.
And I met a sweet, sweet girl, Lori Bontel. I had told her what happened, and she said, Donna, you need to go speak on the House floor. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I wasn't planning to speak. I was just sharing my story throughout the day. I spoke on the House floor, and through that, I shared it with the family I advocated for. And one of the girls, Megan, put it on her Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it was viewed by maybe 4,000 people. And one of those people was this reporter from Florida Today. And she called me and she said, someone told me I should call you and talk to you. And I told her, I was talking to her about the Lord and about praying and about he has called me into this. And she wanted to do a story. And my spirit was never kindled with hers that she was a Christian, because in any time that I would talk to her, mm-hmm, she never would verbally agree about his goodness.
Yeah.
So she called me finally, that her editor said, because I had told her, if I can't talk about my Jesus, you don't have a story.
That's right.
So she had to talk to her editor, and she called me and she said, Miss Donna, my editor said that you can speak freely. I said, okay. She said, can I come to your house? I said, you sure can. She was in my house for 4 hours. And Dr. Jackson, she was not there to talk about ivermectin. That's not why the Lord had her there. I had my COVID kit out. I teach about having a COVID kit prepared.
Yeah.
I had my file out from when I got terminated from the hospital. She came to me and she's starting to write. And I told her, I said, we'll call her Susan for the sake of protecting her privacy, because her name is not Susan, of course. I said, Susan, I said, the Lord knew you were going to be in my house before the foundation of this world, still not knowing her background. I said, before we get started with our interview, do you mind if I pray? And she said, well, a backstory on me, I'm Muslim. I said, okay, I don't want to be offensive to you. I'll just pray quietly to myself. And she said, no. Pray how you normally would pray. I said, okay. So I prayed. And I got emotional. And she says, Miss Donna, why do you always cry when you talk about your God? And the Lord gave me opportunity, Dr. Jackson, to talk with her about the cross.
That's right.
And the blood.
Amen.
And mercy.
Praise
and grace.
God. Hallelujah.
Yes. She said, I have many Christian friends, but they don't get emotional like you. And as we're talking, she knew that I had prayed. I had already gone over the story. She knew I prayed on my way to work. She knew I prayed with the girls before I advocated.
That's right.
And I told her, I said, Susan, I want in this story, I want it known, I am not mad at the CEO or the chief nursing officer that terminated me.
That's right.
And she said, Miss Donna, how can you not be mad? They want to take your nursing license. I said, Susan, what did I do on my way to work? She said, "You prayed." I said, "Yes." I said, "What did I do before I advocated?" "You prayed." "Yes." I said, "Susan, do you have a relationship with your mom?" And she said, "Yes." I said, "If you came home and you saw that your mom was busy with tasks and you wanted to help her and she gave you a task, you did that task, but maybe you didn't really like it, but you wanted to please and honor your mom, I asked the Lord to use me that day. And that's the task he gave me. I need to honor and please him."
That's right.
Then she said, she gave me her hands and she said, "Miss Donna, will you pray with me the way you prayed with those girls the day you advocated?" She said, "Did you all close your eyes? Did you hold hands? Did everybody say amen when you were done?" And so I set the stage for her of what it was like when we prayed. And I held her sweet hands and I prayed with her in the name of Jesus. So this is what I told Diane Spangler, the patient that I advocated for, and I can use her name because her daughters have given me permission, so I'm not violating HIPAA.
Okay.
But Diane's daughters often apologize to me and tell me that they're sorry that I lost my job. And I tell them,
Oh, girls, no.
If this young Muslim girl come to know more about my Jesus,
that's right,
as a result of me advocating for your mom and getting fired, I would do it again.
That's right. Give it all.
I would not hesitate. I ask the Lord to use me. And that's what this is, a spiritual battle. Dr. Jackson, that hospital was my mission field.
That's right.
I would call my pastor. I can't tell you how many times I would complete a 12-hour shift, get in my truck, call my pastor and say, "Preacher, you are not going to believe what the Lord did today."
That's right.
I went in one room. I worked weekends sometimes. And I went into a room and I ministered to this family, this young girl. As I'm telling her about Jesus, her mom is sitting on the other side of the room praying for me.
Yes.
To speak to this girl.
Yes, yes.
And then on that same day, I went into another room. When I would take care of somebody, if they were wearing a cross, like if you're going to wear a cross, I want to know why and mm-hmm. what does that cross mean to you?
That's right.
And I went into another room and there was this young dad. He was wearing a cross. I said, "What does that cross mean to you?" And he couldn't say Jesus Christ.
Uh-huh.
He couldn't say he's wearing it because he had received Christ and he had a personal relationship. And the Lord gave me an opportunity in that same day to speak to him. And again, his mom was present. She's praying as I'm talking. The first patient that I spoke to, she accepted Christ over the weekend of me talking to her. God is so good. And so what the Lord is showing me is that Satan mm-hmm. used that CEO and that chief nursing officer for evil.
That's right.
But my God, Exodus 14:14, the Lord will fight for you and you have only to be silent. My God is fighting my battles for me.
That's right.
And what Satan used for evil, God has turned for good, because now I am able to tell of his goodness in an opportunity like now. Like, I would not be on a podcast sharing God's goodness. I would not be at the state capitol sharing God's goodness. My story would not be in Epic Times where I can share God's goodness. I have been able to take what I thought was my mission field to Titusville, Florida. Now it's across our nation. It's
That's
across
right.
social media.
Amen.
I am able to tell of my Lord and Savior, my Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
About what he has done for me and what he can do for everyone.
That's right. Exactly.
Because our going to heaven, as you know and I know, is not based on what we can do, because he did it on the cross. It's already been done. And when people can look at me and say, "Why are you not angry?" And I can say, "But God," that speaks for itself.
Speaks for itself. But God. Amen. Miss Donna, you're an evangelist.
Well, you know, my preacher used to say from the pulpit, he would say, "Y'all," because on the fifth, whenever we have a fifth Sunday of the month, he would take up a special offering for but it was a benevolent fund.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "I'm going to have to start taking up a special offering for Donna and come get her out of jail."
Well, that CEO picked on the wrong person, didn't he?
God is so good. And, you know, I have his name, George Mkhitaryan, and I have that chief nursing officer, Edwin Lofton, written in my prayer journal.
That's right.
And I pray for them every to come day. To know Jesus every and day. Repent, because you know as well as I know, because our stories are similar, that where we took our oath to do no harm, these hospital corporations have overlooked that.
And
what they are
so
making priority
people.
Is CMS reimbursement.
That's right. It's a blackmail. They're being blackmailed by CMS. It's corruption at the highest level. And they have forsaken their Hippocratic oath for the sake of a financial reward. And it breaks my heart, Miss Donna, all the people, all the lives that have been sacrificed on the altar of their financial gain.
Yes.
And just folks like you and me that have to stand up for the patients. We are there for the patients. And it's our responsibility to advocate for them and to speak the truth. And, and the silence by the other physicians and the other nurses and the medical staff is deafening. And they're afraid to speak up. They're afraid for their jobs. They're unwilling to sacrifice their job like you did because of their fear. They're not courageous. They're not bold. They're cowards. And it hurts my heart to say that, but so many of our medical friends are cowards. And they won't speak the truth. They won't tell the truth for fear of losing their jobs. They can't make their house payments, can't make their car payments. And for fear of that, they will not advocate for the patients. They won't speak the truth. And they won't overturn the lies about COVID. They won't advocate for the early treatment protocol like you did. That does, in fact, work very, very well.
Sir. And they won't.
And they won't tell people the truth about the COVID vaccine and how it's destroyed so many people's lives.
Yes. As a matter of fact, there's a doctor here in Central Florida, Dr. John Littell. He worked for Advent Health, and he got terminated for doing just that.
Mm-hmm.
Because of meeting Lori in Tallahassee, we are now in a group together with some amazing soldiers for Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Littell, Dr. Michael Uphues, Dr. Jeffrey Mueller, they have been under the same criticisms for standing up for truth and standing by their Hippocratic oath. I worked with a nurse, Zane Fields. He was at the same hospital I was at. He worked in the ICU. He was agreed with us. He would talk to the doctors all the time about ivermectin and the poisons of the remdesivir.
Right.
Would try to give them the information, the truth, and they would look at him like he was speaking a foreign language.
That's right.
He actually, shortly before he left there, he would actually he would pray with his patients and tell his patients. He would give them informed consent about remdesivir. He wouldn't flat out tell them to refuse it, but he would educate them enough that they on their own would decide they didn't want this poison in their bodies.
Good for him. Good for him.
And he said, you know, Donna, I talked to these doctors over and over again about ivermectin and this FLCCC protocol. They would look at me like I was crazy. Oh, you just asked for it. And they immediately said yes. To me, that shows, again, spiritual warfare.
It is.
Well, because I prayed on my way to work.
There that are deceived and spiritually blind. And,
yes.
You know, and there's the spiritual battle. You know, it's not a function of ignorance. It's not a function of a lack of intelligence. These doctors are plenty smart.
Yes.
They're plenty
yes, sir.
Well informed, but they cannot see the truth. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God because they're foolishness to him. Neither can he understand them because they're spiritually discerned. And you and I understand that. They're never going to receive the truth, the spiritual truth, or the truth about certain medical issues or cultural issues until the Spirit of God opens their eyes, transfers them from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of God's beloved Son. If they're not born again into the kingdom of God, Miss Donna, they will never see. They will always be spiritually blind.
Yes, sir. The stand has not been removed.
And that's why evangelism is so fundamental to everything that we do. And it's not just about COVID and ivermectin, but it's about every cultural issue, whether we're talking about abortion or homosexuality or divorce and remarriage. It doesn't matter what we're talking about. Evangelism is fundamental because people are not going to see the truth until they first see Jesus.
Yes. You have to have a heart change.
That's right. It's fundamental to everything that we do. Well, look, we're running out of time. We've got about a minute and a half left. Are there any closing remarks that you would like to make?
Yes, sir. Deuteronomy 20, verse 4. For the Lord your God is he who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to give you the victory.
It's a wonderful concluding verse. I love that verse. Well, you've been listening to Donna Lowry. She's a nurse from down in Titusville, Florida. Her testimony is powerful. I'd love it if you'd take it and tell your friends about it and have them listen to the radio broadcast and to our podcast, which is entitled More Than Medicine. Miss Donna, thank you for being with me today. It's been such a blessing.
And yes, sir, Dr. Jackson. Thank you for this opportunity.
You're listening to More Than Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Robert Jackson.
Thank you for listening to this edition of More Than Medicine. For more information about the Jackson Family Ministry, Dr. Jackson's books, or to schedule a speaking engagement, go to their Facebook page, Instagram, or their webpage at jacksonfamilyministry.com. This podcast is produced by Bob Sloan Audio Production at bobsloan.com.